for the name of Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved but the name of Jesus. And there's coming a day when at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of the Father. We thank you for who you are and what you mean to us. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I've shared this story before. Bear with me. But it's dear to my heart. I was brought into the house by my friend. I was just 16. I didn't look good. Didn't smell good. And I hadn't been acting good. For me, that was unusual. I was generally a good young person. And when my friends brought me in, my father didn't say anything. He just looked at me. I wish he had said something. But he just looked. I'll never forget that look. In fact, that look changed me. The Gospel of St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. I invite you to turn there if you would. And I'll finish that story. I know I left you hanging. If you look puzzled, that's okay. I'll tell you why. That meant so much to me. Matthew chapter 26. We'll stay there for this entire message. Jesus is being led away to Caiaphas the high priest. He had just spent time with Annas, and things had not been going well. The meeting of the Sanhedrin was hastily summoned in the dead of night, which made it illegal. They were coming together to determine whether or not Jesus would be guilty of blasphemy. You, if you read the scripture, you'll find that they'd already had their minds made up. And the Bible even says so. So they sought false witness that he might be put to death. During this time, his disciples had run away and left him by himself. But there was one who was courageous enough to follow afar off. Guess who that might be? Care to guess? Peter. Peter stood afar off, Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter, the walk on water Peter, also the walk on water, but also the Peter that began to sink, Peter. If there was a head disciple, it would have to be Peter. But you know what comes to most people's minds, even though Peter did great exploits for God? It's Peter's denial. We won't let it go. Well, I won't let it go. Peter's denial, that's the title of the sermon. It's relevant for today. I wonder why Peter would deny Jesus. And in chapter 26 and verse 31, you'll find out that Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him. It was shortly after the communion. And in verse 33 of chapter 26, Peter says these words, "Although all men shall be offended because of you, Jesus, yet I will never be offended. So Jesus replies, this night before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And it all painfully comes true in verses 69 through 74. Why, Peter? Why would Peter deny the Lord? First of all, I'll get right to the point. First of all, Peter was not prayed up. Simple as that. Peter was not prayed up. What did I say, everybody? Peter was not prayed up. And in fact, Jesus earlier had his disciples and said, just spend an hour. Just an hour. And when Jesus came back, guess what they were doing? Sleeping. I said in the first service that I don't get disturbed anymore when people sleep on me during the service. Early in my ministry, I'd have been disturbed if people were asleep. But I've learned not to take that personal, because being up here is a calling from God. It's really not about me. And in fact, people have had such difficult and busy weeks. It doesn't take long for them to sit down and go to sleep. It's not because I'm boring. I've learned to accept that. Jesus comes back again the second time, and guess what he finds his disciples doing? Sleeping. Comes back a third time. Guess what they're doing? They're sleeping. Jesus wanted the disciples to be watchful and prayerful. So Peter was not prayed up. Second of all, why Peter denied Jesus was because of pride. Because of pride. What did I say, everybody? What was the first one? Peter was not prayed up. Second, and he had a problem with the issue of pride. Peter was always the one you could count on. He was going to open his mouth first. He says, I will never forsake you. And when he said this, he took the first step in falling away. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, you can be overconfident, even in matters of faith and religion. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Jesus could not teach Peter because Peter already knew. Self-confidence. Jesus says, one of you will betray me. And the disciples went around and, is it I? Is it I? They went around trying to figure out. And so Peter breaks out and starts arguing with Jesus and said, you don't have to worry. It'll never be me. Someone said that Ellen White had this to say about it. I don't have the quote, but I'd like to share it with you. Says, if Peter would have said to Jesus, Lord, please save me from myself. Please don't let me do that. Jesus would have answered his prayer, and Peter would not have denied the Lord that night. Be careful about being prideful. Not prayed up. Peter was betrayed by his own pride. But you know, the area where we have to be careful. Above all, this is the area where Peter really fell. And I'd like to read a quote. When God fails to instantly meet our demands of deliverance from hardship, disappointment, and lost. We are prone to disown Him and go our solitary way until our self-inflicted pain drives us back to God. The reason Peter denied the Lord was disappointment. I was surprised by that. I was really surprised by that, that it was disappointment. In fact, it is the enemy of the Christian, and especially the new Christian. Disappointment. I was surprised. There's a blogger that has a site on disappointment, and the people who have disappointed him. On his list was Gray Davis, former governor of California. Now, I'm just telling you, this is a blogger. This is what he says on his list. So, this is not about whether you like him or not. Michael Jackson made his list. Michael Jackson was number 7 on his list. And I'm not sure why, what his connection with Steve Bartman, but Steve Bartman was the Cub fan that reached out for the souvenir ball, do you remember that? Several seasons ago, and interrupted the player from catching the ball. And because of that, the Cubs did not get into the pennant. And then number 2 for him, I imagine he was a Rush Limbaugh fan. This is not about whether or not you like or dislike, but he was a Rush Limbaugh fan, and he was very taken by the fact that Rush Limbaugh was so hard on drug users, and he himself got hooked on OxyContin. So that was on his list. Again, I was surprised that it is so prevalent. When you become a Christian, watch out for disappointment. You see, when we come to Jesus, we are excited, and you should be, that Jesus has forgiven us for our sins. Amen? Aren't you excited about that? You don't sound like it. Aren't you excited about that? Amen. That's what happens when we come to Jesus. It's a chance for us to start all over again. God's going to do something for us. But you know what we discover when we come to Jesus? And then that doesn't happen to everyone, but some of us discover that our temptations are just as strong after we've come to Jesus as before. I think we're surprised by that. There was one place. I won't tell you where it's at, of course. I've been so many places you couldn't guess anywhere. I was head elder at this particular place. When I entered into that area to take on my duties, and they had a great staff of deacons. This deacon had been there for 20 years. He was a fine deacon. But you know something? He was still smoking 20 years later. Struggling. A good man, struggling with smoking, coming down the aisle every Sabbath. You're acting surprised. Folks struggle. I'm not endorsing it. I'm telling you that people, and they're surprised, they are disappointed at themselves. You know what can easily disappoint you? The world. The world disappoints us. But nothing chokes a faith like being disappointed by the church. Nothing disappoints like being disappointed by the church. if there's any difficulty in what I do, and it shouldn't be difficult because the Lord directs in my doing and I depend on Him, it's the expectations. You see, whenever a person comes, whenever a person is a Christian, whenever you come to a new church, you have a certain expectation of how a church should be. And you know what happens? We find out that it's not exactly like we think it ought to be. And we're disappointed by that. Sometimes the pastor is not who you think he is. Amen? And people are disappointed. There's probably at least 200 different expectations in a congregation of 400 people. And people get disappointed by that. They have other expectations. Peter denied the Lord because he was disappointed. Peter was no coward. In fact, when you remember when the mob came to take Jesus away? Guess who pulled out a sword and cut the soldier's ear off? Peter. Matthew doesn't say it, but if you go to John, the 18th chapter, it says it gives his name. It was Peter. Some of you are surprised that disciples were born running around with Jesus with swords. He pulls out his sword, cuts the soldier's ear off. Ellen White says he was ready. Talking about Peter, he was courageous and he would have made a good soldier. Peter was very disappointed that Jesus was willing to take the kind of abuse. Let me read something for you. I was going to save it to the end, but I got to read it now, and it fits right now. This is from The Desire of Ages, page 697. The disciples were terrified as they saw Jesus permit himself to be taken and bound. They were offended that he should suffer this humiliation to himself and them. They could not understand his conduct, and they blamed him for submitting to the mob. In their indignation and fear, listen to this, Peter proposed that they save themselves. Following this suggestion, they all forsook him and fled. Peter again. God's plan was being worked out and they did not even understand it. Beware if you suffer from disappointment. And there's always the small disappointment points. I'm not talking about that. I think you know which ones I'm talking about. The ones that will cause you to lose your faith. One writer said that he coined it that there were four spiritual stages of spiritual growth. The first one he called the fireball stage. That's when we first become Christians. We are on fire and we want to tell everyone. I've been there. Number two comes the reality stage. That's when disappointment comes in. That's when you find out Fallbrook is not everything that people said it was. Everybody in Fallbrook don't have it together. We find that out and we get disappointed by that. But this is the stage that we have to, number three, that we have to watch out for most of all. It's the up and down stage. Disappointment comes, we can either grow through it or fall away and become apathetic Whenever you have a church, and I'm glad that Fallbrook is not like this. This is somebody else's church. Whenever you have a church full of pew warmers, they're in the up and down stage. Because pew warmers are apathetic. You can't get them to do anything. You have 100 officers and you call them for all 100 and they can't do one on there. That's not Fallbrook. Aren't you glad? Amen? Because you wouldn't be here if you were in a church like that. Amen? Well, that's a weak amen. I don't know if you believe that or not. I have to check that out. Do you believe that? Amen? You wouldn't want to be in a church like that. But number four is the one where we're at. That's the steady as you go stage. Your growth is progressive and it's steady. Amen? That's where you want to be. That's the stage you want to be in. You know what changed Peter? The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. But when you read closely, you'll find that Jesus was not far off. And he looked at Peter. Just like my dad looked at me. And it broke his heart. Let me say something. You know what's second on the list to being disappointed by church? Is by family, spouses, children, close friends. We can be really hurt by them. Really disappointed. And if you're a parent, let me share something with you. Sooner or later, your children are going to do something that's absolutely stupid. I don't care who they are. You're going to ask yourself, did I raise them in this home? Could they have possibly done that? That happens. Now, every now and then, you will get a child that's never, ever, 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 ever done anything wrong. But most of the time, that's the exception to the rule. Isn't that right? They're going to do something absolutely stupid that's going to disappoint you. But you know something? Children, you're going to see your parents do something stupid. That absolutely, you can't believe that they were raised in your home. Absolutely stupid. You may hear some things as you get older and you won't believe that your parents did this. And it's going to disappoint you. We have to be careful that disappointment does not choke our faith out. Amen? I tell you, it's the issue that I struggle with the most. I meet people, they are looking for something wrong with me. I'm talking about me. So that they can have an excuse not to be here. Folks, I don't care what you hear about me. Do not be so disappointed that you'll leave Jesus. Amen? Because if Peter had a known, if he really had a known what he had in his hands, he would not have denied the Lord. There's a story President Bush has been very busy in the last several weeks. There's a whole lot going on in our nation. And I hope you pray for our president. Amen? You don't have to always agree with him, but you can certainly pray for him. Amen? Yeah, a lot of things have been going on. But I was intrigued by the fact that he had time. The plane stopped outside of Rochester, New York. And as it landed on the tarmac and the Air Force One was the backdrop, President Bush took time to congratulate a 17-year-old senior, Jason McElwain. Jason McElwain had autism, or he was autistic. He didn't begin talking until he was 5 years old, and he still lacked some of the social skills. But he was kind of, you know, they call you the manager of his basketball team. You bring in the balls, make sure the other team members have the equipment. You sit on the bench. But he was well thought of, and at Greece Athena High School in the suburb of Rochester, New York, they played a game, and the game was out of hand. The team was winning. And so the coach, for once, decided to put him in the game. So he sent him in. He was only 5'6". He ran on in the game. 4 minutes left. Jason, and if you know anything about basketball, this is an amazing feat, hit 6 3-pointers and a 2-point. 20 points in 4 minutes. In fact, they put him on his shoulder. I mean, they carried him out as if he was the hero. The game was already won, but they carried him out as hero. And Hollywood, everybody's looking to get his story. And so the president took time to meet with 17-year-old Jason McElwain. The president, in fact, said he wept when he heard about the story. You know what the answer to Peter's denial? We need to first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. Amen? That ought to be first. And then second, and that's Matthew 6:33, and then second, we, from 1 John 2 and verse 15, we need to be very clear in our mind who we love first. Amen? You come here because you love Jesus. Amen? That is your number one reason for coming. Amen? And I don't care how stupid the pastor acts, you're coming because you love Jesus. Amen? If Peter would have remembered who was, if he had known who was on the bench, would he have denied the Lord? Jesus is a winner. And in fact, we can't win unless we go with Him. I don't know about you. I have been disappointed in the church. I'm speaking in a broad sense. Not at Fallbrook. said, Lord, help me not to leave. I said, Lord, help me. I'm not overconfident. I'm not thinking that it can't happen to me. Time will not permit me to tell you some of the strongest people I have ever met from a Christian standpoint are no longer in this church. I'm not talking about forward, in the Seventh-day Adventist church. And at present, if the Lord does not do something, they're never coming back. I'm talking about strong Christian people. I'm talking about the real strong kind. They got a Bible text on every hand. No longer walk with God anymore. Folk, the denial can be real to all of us if we don't put our trust totally and unreservedly in Him. Don't let anything separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. May that be our prayer. May you adopt that in your private life. Because we're with winners. Amen? When you have Jesus, we have the benefit of knowing who wins the game. I'm going with Him. How about you? Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank You. We're hard on Peter. A little Peter in all of us. But we're thankful, Lord, that ultimately You saved Peter. Peter was willing to fall on the rock Christ Jesus and truly give himself totally to You. He's one of the great figures of the church today. Not by power, not by might, but even by My Spirit, says the Lord. May each of us look in our own hearts and renew our covenant relationship with You once more. Not in our own strength, but we're going to lean on and accept Your righteousness. Thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.